Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations. Always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcel Swally. That dude.
What's up, Doc? I'm sounding a little better, but I think I gotta be more open and honest with you guys out there. So let's just get right into it, right? And start off with, what's up with that dude? Well, what's up with that dude is, here's a story. 48 years ago, a little boy was born in Compton, California, Dominguez Valley Hospital, which changed to Dominguez Medical Center, which is no longer there. Damn it, I don't know where I'm from. But let me just tell you guys why I sound like this. And I'm still putting the pieces of the puzzle together, but this is what I know. I grew up with acid reflux, had no idea, so I used to throw up my food all the time, every single day, every single meal, because it doubled up my meals, right? It wasn't because we were broke, none of that. It was just the fact that those tacos taste good. Let me do it again. And didn't realize the poison, the acid that was just going right here all the time. So you fast forward, I play football, injury prone career, but who cares? Because that was just football, physical. Now I'm gonna get in broadcasting. And all I need is this pretty face and this voice. And let alone of all things that get compromised, it's this voice because of that acid reflux. So I don't think a lot of you guys know, but maybe 7-8 years ago, I had vocal cord surgery. Yep, had those nodes on there. So they went in there, fixed it all up, but I have a compromised vocal cord, which means if I get fatigued, if I start coaching the itty bitties a little too hard, or if I just live a normal life of talking, I get fatigued right here. So that's what it is. I don't know if they call it Doc Rivers phobia. I don't know what they call it, but I got it. So just letting you guys know, it will heal. Probably by Thursday's show, I'll sound normal, all to the good. All right, thank you for your concern, though, because I had to clear that up. All right, now, this is something that y'all know about me as well. I sweat a lot. Let's talk about pickleball, because that's what I was doing yesterday, man. I was sweating it up, thinking I'm getting a little bit better, man. Had a group of guys over, 5 guys, including me. So we had 6, we were running doubles, and one team had to rest, shifting it up. And of the 6 guys, I could say I was probably the 6th best one. Them boys came over to my house and was whipping my ass. Oh, but you know what they did? They inspired me. I got that bug again. So now I'm starting to work on it, not only physically, but my body, because my knees all jacked up. But mentally, like, oh, I know what to do. My boy Justin Watson, you guys know him, played for the Baltimore Ravens, won a Super Bowl. He started coaching me up during the game. Can't lie, dog. went from undrafted to about third round that fast. So it's going down. Real exciting times. Just networking. Just, you know, making sure you open up your Rolodex and touch and connect with everybody. Because isn't it crazy you text everybody and then you try to make dinner plans. And then next thing you know, it turns into a group text and a group dinner. And then that's about it, you know. And then you got your boys here and there that will come through a little more often. But I'm such a big open heart and open spirit. I'm like, dog, what the hell did I do all this for if I ain't going to connect with it, right? That's the feeling. That's the emotional content. So I'm doing that. All right, so what else happened yesterday? My wife was burnt. We went to the NFL party Friday. We went to her party at SoFi Stadium Saturday. And Sunday, we were just hanging around, chilling with all the kids, and they were running crazy. And she is just like every other kid, me included. Y'all ever get woke up or you ever be tired and somebody asks you, are you sleeping? You're like, no, I'm good, I'm good. What is that about people that they cannot admit that they're tired, that they're burnt? So my wife, as soon as the kids came home, she playing with them. I look at her, she's smiling. I look at her again, her smile ain't moved. You know why? Because she's asleep. She just sleeping like this. I'm like, baby, wake up. The kids just got home, play with them. And this is when I become a butthole because I should just say, hey, are you tired? Go rest. But she always fights it and says, no, I'm not tired. And I'm like, oh, God, I got in an argument because you sleepy. So she just kept dozing off everywhere. And finally, she just tapped out. Kids leaving blueberries and blackberries on the couch. She mad at me. I'm like, you sleep. You right next to him. Life goes on. Boy, the life of a married man. So all of that happened yesterday. All of that is good. You know what else happened yesterday? Oh, how about them Dodgers apologizing and re-inviting the LGBTQIA plus group to Pride Night? Sound like New Edition out there. I realize I apologize. Man, how come people don't see the backlash before they actually go out there and take a stance or they actually go out there and say they're going to do something? Expect pushback. Do you know the yin and yang of this world? Do you know the up and down of this world, right? Do you know the relativity of this world? This is not an absolute world. And I'm not going to get biblical on y'all, but it's even in the Bible, right? Like, this world is about knowing you can do something, which is just juxtaposed to what you can't do. So everything that goes that way will come back that way. Get it? Dodgers didn't get it. So the Dodgers announced that the group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence will again be welcome at the team's annual Pride Night. Nearly a week after the team rescinded its original invitation. Y'all can come. Nah, y'all can't come. Woo! Backlash. Okay, y'all can come again. Not the best look. Okay, so they've said, quote, we have asked the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to take their place on the field at our 10th annual LGBTQ plus Pride Night on June 16th. Ooh, they forgot the I and the A. Ooh. See, I told you this is disingenuous. We are pleased to share that they have agreed to receive the gratitude of our collective communities for the life-saving work that they have done tirelessly for decades. That wasn't the cleanest sentence in the world. We have agreed that they have received the gratitude of our collective communities. The group will receive the Community Hero Award. Good for them. The Sisters, a group of mainly men who dress as nuns, is a charity protest performance group founded in 1979. So the group denied it was anti-Catholic. That helped this get pushed. We know that there was push from conservatives, including Roman Catholics and politicians, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, etc. So now we're in a situation where the Dodgers' decision to disinvite the group sparked all that backlash around the country. So they decided to now re-invite them. That's basically what happened here. Y'all agree with the Dodgers' decision? Which one? Which one, Marcellus? To disinvite or to re-invite? I know, it's crazy. Grandma always said, mean what you say and say what you mean. And I'm not saying right or wrongs. I'm saying if you say it, please mean it. So in this situation, why did the Dodgers come out in the first place? I knew you knew it was going to have backlash. You knew there was going to be some effect and maybe some effect to the bottom line. Maybe it was greater than you imagined. I don't know how. You're a billion-dollar organization. You are playing big bucks, high-level stakes in terms of what you guys have at risk. And in that respect, I don't know why the Dodgers didn't see this coming and why did they now flip? Because now, without seeing the backlash coming or responding to the backlash before you made that decision, now you're losing both ways. Think about it. You're losing in your respect because it doesn't seem authentic. It just doesn't. Doesn't seem genuine that you guys truly want them there. And they don't feel fully included. They don't feel like this was a pure invite because you guys took it back. You ever been invited somewhere and they're like, oh, I forgot. And then, oh yeah, you can come. I was like, you ain't forget all these other 400 people here. You forgot about me. You don't necessarily feel like y'all the coolest of people. So Dodgers stepped in it a little bit unnecessarily on that one. So next time, when you guys are thinking about making a decision, make sure it's the decision you really mean and want and will carry out. If not, then y'all gonna sound like, can I realize? They apologize. Chewing on my medicinal gum. And I know I'm in California and I know what y'all thinking. It ain't that. It's too damn early for that. But this is gonna help me with my voice. I hope that moisture is keeping my vocal cords moist so I can pronounce all that I'm about to say. And right now, what I'm about to say is thank you for your membership in Wiley's World on YouTube. It continues to grow. Every day I check, I got new members. And one of you guys are going to win this on Friday on our free Friday giveaways to all our members. And thank you for your viewership on Brinks TV and Reese TV. Now I'm up here sweating like I stole something and went to church on the same day. Why? My fat butt decided to work out right before I did the show. I told y'all I got that pickleball bug and it's going to come. So I'm about to lean out and flex out for y'all. And speaking of flex, the NFL owners are okay flexing Thursday night games. Yes, the NFL will have the capacity to flex a limited number of late season Thursday night football games on the Amazon Prime streaming platform. Resolution passed and it will be in effect on a trial basis. See how this works. Because y'all know how y'all act. Y'all don't like something? Ooh, y'all loud. Even if it's the silent minority or the loud majority or it's the loud minority or it's the silent majority, whatever it is, somehow, some way, people start feeling it. The Dodgers just felt it and you can make your voice felt as well. Depends on how this goes. But if it doesn't work out this year, they will carry it over to the 2024 season based on if they don't flex any games. So an earlier version of the proposal was tabled at the league meetings in March. Strong opposition. Guess who opposed it? I'll wait. I've been in TV a long time. I just did that so I could wipe myself off. It was nothing about the pause. It was the Giants owner, John Mara. He called it abusive to fans whose schedules will be disrupted. He looking out for y'all. That's love right there. The resolution will allow the league to flip a Sunday afternoon game into a Thursday night and move the originally scheduled game to Sunday afternoon during weeks 13 through 17. So we got a long ways before this happens, but at the end, when it matters most, all of a sudden, we're going to start playing with this schedule, potentially. NFL must file notice no later than 28 days before the game. Increase of nearly 2 weeks from the earlier proposal. So before, they were like 2 weeks. One, to the players and then to the schedule, you're like, that's a little short notice, but more so for the fans. Hey, man, you know we spent a lot of money on that Delta flight, you know, in that hotel at the Omni, you know, like, can we get some notice? We got the kids out of school on Friday. Can we get some notice? They missing Monday. Can we get some notice? Now you're going to get that notice. So that's a good thing right there. All right. So the NFL now has flex options for all of its primetime games. Remember that? Monday Night Football has it as well. It had the opportunity to flex Sunday Night Football games all the way back to guess how long, dog? It's been a minute. 2006. Goodness. All right. So Mara, he's still mad at it. He said it then and he says it now. I stand by my comments in March. I still feel the same way. Stamp it right there. Now, those who support this, those who are in support in the ownership group, say this. This should show our fans in the media industry that we'll do everything we can to make streaming on Thursday night successful. Guess who said that? I'll wait. Yep, you were right on that one. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Our media industry partners, you know what it is. Jerry like, look, it's going to work. We're going to make that money and y'all going to pay for it as well. So there were 8 owners who didn't support it, but it still passed. Now, what are my thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on this? I've always been a fan of the Thursday night game. Let me tell you why. And I think it has a bad rap, bad narrative. I don't know if people understand this. Okay, you play on Sunday. Now, if you play again next Sunday, that's just a normal work week. We all know it, right? Monday, you come into the facilities, light work, watch film. Tuesday, you're off. Wednesday's a hard practice. Thursday's a hard practice. Friday's pretty light. Saturday's a walkthrough. Sunday, you play. Everyone knows that. If you didn't, now you know. But when you play on Thursday night, listen to this schedule. You play Sunday. Monday, you go into the facilities, light workout, and you watch film. Tuesday, you may be off. You probably are off, but still, they're looking at you like, yo, y'all can get some work in here. Wednesday, it's a light practice walkthrough because guess what? We play tomorrow. Did y'all hear any hard practices in there? Ooh. So when everyone says this is so taxing on the body, what retires players are not the games. Not a single player ever has retired because they didn't want to play the game again. They retire because of training camp. They retire because of practice. They retire because of Wednesdays. They retire because of Thursdays. So when you take that out the equation, all of a sudden, you basically got a guy who's going out there and load managing in football. Coach ain't going to tax you on a short week. And that's not even the best part. Here's the best part. After that Thursday night victory or even defeat, guess what you got? Friday, nothing. Saturday, nothing. Sunday, nothing. Monday, come back into the facilities and we're going to run it back like a normal Sunday week. Did you just say we didn't have any hard practices before the game and none after until it's a normal work week the next week? Yes, I did. Glad I'm here to tell y'all the real. But you know what? Players had to act like this was going to kill them. Why? Because of the collective bargaining agreement. If you don't act like it's going to kill you, they're going to just keep adding games and keep rigging the schedule any way they want to with no regard to you. So this was really a leverage piece more so than really a problem with the schedule and a problem in terms of how it taxed the body. Players were up in arms for that reason. And the media maybe didn't know any better, but the media had their own interest, which is the more primetime games, the more money we make. So the NFL sitting there like, we know the answer to this. Because the NFL, as much as they love you guys going to the stadiums, 70, 80,000 deep, buying popcorns, everybody spending an average of $50, $100 when you're there on top of the $300 you already spent for your tickets or more, right? They love all that, but that ain't touching. That pales in comparison to that TV contract, to those TV network deals, okay? So don't get it twisted. Do not go in the stadium walking like George Jefferson, like you over there doing something, because you ain't doing nothing compared to this. And that's the camera showing it to millions. You hear that? Not 70, 80,000 right there. Millions at home. What we are when we go to games are basically the set. We're part of the theater. We're part of what they're filming and producing for those at home. So all we are the crowd, truly, the set design to make that look like it's something special. Oh, you don't think that's special? It is. Remember COVID games? I went to a COVID game at SoFi when there were like 37 people there. It sucked. I mean, no lie. They were playing NFL football and it sucked. I was sitting there like, boring, like a bad DJ when you go to the club. So basically, we are important, but know your role, know your lane. It's about the TV deals. It's about flexing, getting better games with the TV deals and as many nights as they can to take over as the NFL, whenever it's on, is a national holiday. So do you guys like the move? Would you guys like the schedule that I proposed? That's how I run my team. That's how they run the team. So now you guys got to peek behind the curtain. Understand, it's okay. Don't feel bad for them players when they play on Thursday. Trust me, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they chilling. Chomping on this medicinal on your head. Yeah, man. I'm getting away with it all right now. And I'm getting away with giving away this Buffalo Bills jersey Looks like it's from the AFL, don't it? Sucker here, the first player ever wore this jersey and then handed it down to me. But now I'm going to hand it to you on Friday with our free Friday giveaways. And thanks for your membership in the Wiley's World on YouTube. And thanks for your viewership on Brinks TV and Reese TV. And speaking of viewership, I was watching this dude ball last night. And I won't be watching him ball no more. Not this season. LeBron James shocks the NBA world by hinting at retirement. Oh, LeBron ended his post-game press conference with an eyebrow-raising message after the Lakers got broomstuck by the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. I am not laughing at that because we've been going to Cabo, but we got room for y'all now, Lakers. Seemingly hinting that he could be contemplating retiring. Here's the quote. And I hope it's not really the quote, but this is what I read. I don't like to say it's a successful year because I don't play for anything besides winning championships at this point in my career. You know, he said it like that too. I don't get a kick out of making a conference appearance. I've done it a lot, and it's not fun to me to not be able to be a part of getting to the finals. That's real. Now, this one, it gets funny. We'll see what happens going forward. I don't know. He sounds like a little bad kid. I don't know, mama. I don't know. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. I hope that was a misprint. Just for me personally, going forward with the game of basketball, I got a lot to think about. Bro, like, let me just tell you what I'm about to do. Think about a lot. All right. Ooh, what does he have to think about? We're going to talk through it. James is coming off one of the most impressive performances of his playoff career. We saw him 49-9. He was out there eating, don't lie. Started fast, kind of faded at the end, but it is. He's 38 damn years old and had a career high in the playoff for points and a half. 31. Scored nearly twice as much as any of his teammates, with the next higher scorer being Anthony Davis, who had 21 points. Oh, we saw how the game ended, down two. James had two chances to tie the score. Final 26 seconds, he missed a 20-foot fadeaway. 5-foot floater was blocked by Aaron Gordon. Got double-teamed out there, Jamal Murray. It is what it is. I can hear the Jordan stands now. Mike would have made it. Mike would have found a way. Mike, don't get swept. Y'all need to stop. Nuggets completed the sweep of the Lakers, and they took him out. The way that the Lakers came in is the way the Lakers went out. My grandma used to say that too. Boy, the way you go in somewhere is the way you coming out. And y'all remember how this season started for the Lakers. It's been a long one. Frustrating, even though they had some highlights. Started off 2-10. Remember that? Then, by late February, 13th place. Right? They were out the play-in tournament at that time. And James kept talking about how tired he was. I'm tired, boss. I need some relaxation. Frequently called this year's travel schedule, especially one of the most grueling and challenging for him and his ball club. Okay. So things came to a head. Remember the trade deadline for these Lakers? And then he told them, February 4th. I still feel like I got plenty of gas in the tank to help any franchise win a championship. And I'm here with the Lakers right now. Everybody was like, what? Right now, what you mean? What you talking about, Willis? What you talking about? So I'm trying to help them get back to the promised land for the 18th time. When James was asked if he thinks the roster has what it takes to go all the way, or if he thinks upgrades need to be made, he shrugged. I haven't even thought about next year. Ooh, I don't know. There go that I don't know again. LeBron hiding. But the biggest decision of all lies in his hands. So during the All-Star break, remember this? James called the stretch run 23 of the most important games of his career in the regular season. Couldn't handle being on the couch again. Said, playing basketball at this level, just to be playing basketball is not in my DNA. I ain't just out there to be playing. I'm out there to go get it, to win championships. It's not in my DNA anymore. So this season, even though they had their ups and downs and then finished strong, James became the league's all-time leading scorer. That was this year still. Posted unprecedented numbers for a 38-year-old, 29-8-7. Good Lord, don't even compare that to some of them other old cats when they were out there tilting. numbers don't look exactly the same. What are we talking about? Jordan, Kareem, and LeBron is out there holding it down for the old school, for the Ben Gay crowd. So y'all surprised by what LeBron said? I'm not. What's y'all reaction to it? I'm going to tell you what my reaction is. First thing is appreciation. One thing about any relationship that goes on and on and on, the toughest thing to hold on to is not the love, because you always going to love somebody if you're around them and they're doing good for you. It's not that. It's the appreciation that you start to lose. So you know you love them, but do you show you love them, right? And more importantly, in this relationship with LeBron, the Lakers, the NBA, LeBron wants to feel that love. How does LeBron feel love? What's the love language of an NBA player, especially a GOAT like LeBron? Do what I need to get what I want. Simple as that. Do what I need to get what I want. And LeBron is looking around like, I saw Kyrie right there under the basket. All right, get some of these free agents. Put a little pressure on the front office up there, right? Because they don't listen to you necessarily, even though you're great, even though you're LeBron. Remember, he tried to get some players in this year. They were like, nah, that's what the report said. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. And even LeBron at 38, GOAT status, still has to be a squeaky wheel. So this is what Too Short did. This is my last album, yo, my 10th album. Too Short is on his 23rd album right now. He just wanted to make some noise with the label. He wanted them to respect him. And more importantly, he wanted that appreciation. I tell you another thing why I don't believe LeBron is because my bishop told me this a long time ago. Never make a decision when you're hungry, lonely, or tired. Don't make a decision, because it's not a sound decision. You are not clear of mind when you're sitting there hungry, lonely, or tired. That's right. And I know y'all, when you're lonely, especially you ladies out there picking up that phone, don't answer that phone when you're lonely, girl. He ain't no good, girl. And when you're hungry, the pantry becomes your damn war. Oh my God, you go in that pantry. Right? And when you're tired, like my wife last night, goodness, just a grouch. Just mean, just like, ah, forget it. That's probably LeBron. After they blocked his shot, he couldn't get his last shot off. Ah, forget it. I'm retiring. Take my ball home and going back. So I don't believe LeBron for that reason. I think he's just wore out. After any grueling disappointment, if someone shoved the mic in your face and tried to get your emotional state in that moment, let's just say it wouldn't be the most positive, right? Nobody wants to run the race anymore after they just lost the race in such a grueling fashion. So all of this, take with a grain of salt. Actually, don't. What's less than a grain of salt? No salt. Take all this with no salt. LeBron James is playing basketball next year. Just right now, a little tired, boss. After that disappointment, he can't look forward. What was that? Flo, Mel's Diner? I think that was the last person I saw chew gum on TV, like in their role. I should have did this when I was working at ESPN Fox. Like, yeah, man, whatever, dog. That's how athletes are, right? Why'd I get up there and get all proper and stuff? No gum, please. So all that love, man. And thanks for the love for your viewership on Brinks TV and Reach TV. And thanks for your love on YouTube on Wally's World. Who is going to win this on Friday? Who is going to win this Buffalo Bills Wiley jersey that is so fresh and so clean? Because this is my rookie year jersey, and I ain't do that much on the field. All right, let's talk about somebody who did a whole lot in his career, but didn't want somebody else to do anything. Ben Roethlisberger, who initially didn't want Kenny Pickett to succeed. Hate. The retired quarterback had Pickett as a guest on his podcast, Footballing with Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, I didn't know he had a podcast. Is it good? I got to check that out. I like Ben. Ben was my homie. Let me tell you my Ben story real quick. Met Ben when he was a senior, but he was coming out. He was getting drafted, and we kicked it in Houston. Like, this big old dude, cool. I just remember that, and we stayed in touch, you know, hung out a couple times, few times over the years, and then you just watched that dude just kept getting bigger. And I ain't talking about his body. I'm talking about his status. Ben was a monster. A monster. I remember when we used to try to scout and then had to play him. So we tried to scout him like, all right, you know what Ben Roethlisberger is going to do. Big arm, really subtle and slippery in the pocket. Not a blazer, but hard to bring down and harder than you think to get to. So that was our scouting report. And then you look at him like, man, ain't no way this dude doing all that. And Ben just had that used car, big balloon in front of it, that used car dealership thing that just be doing. Every time you get to Ben, his big ass will find a way to just get him. And then just run fast enough to escape your grasp. Ben was a beast, obviously Hall of Famer. So we know what he was saying when he was talking to Kenny Pickett. He said, quote, I'll be completely honest. I'll be super transparent here. When somebody says both of those things, honest and super transparent, they about to go show you their soul. He about to go there. And he said, I'm going to get blasted. I probably shouldn't say this. Damn. Woo. Ben really is getting cathartic right here. But who cares at this point? I wouldn't say that I wanted Kenny to necessarily fail, but when someone comes to replace you, I still feel like I had it. I hope he doesn't come ball out, because then it's like, Ben, who? Okay, we'll get to that. Roethlisberger retired after 2021 season. We know that. 18 years with the Steelers, 2 Super Bowl championships, several franchise records set. Beast. Steelers selected Pickett, first round draft pick last year. Broke into the lineup week 4, became the starter the next week. Took the Steelers to a 9-8 record after the team started 2-6. Okay, go pick it. Here's Roethlisberger. Early on, I didn't want you to succeed because you followed me up. I didn't want it to happen. I think that's probably the selfishness of me, and I feel bad for it. But Roethlisberger said that by Pickett's third game, his attitude changed. As you started playing, I found myself rooting more and more for you, big dog. I added the big dog. I wanted you to succeed. I wanted you to win games. I wanted you to go in the playoffs. I feel bad that I felt that early on. But I'm glad I transitioned to loving and rooting for you. He added that he's now a fan of Pickett and complimented him on his running ability. Said he also enjoys texting Pickett after games. Now he's starting to sound like a granddaddy instead of his teammate, his former teammate. It means the road. He said of Roethlisberger's support. Man, added that he studied him when he was playing at Pitt. So it's a mutual respect, two-way street right here. Roethlisberger thinks that Pickett is the future of the team. I really do, and I think the fans should be lucky. They are lucky they got him. They got you, Pickett. All right, what's going on here? Because the meat of this is really when Roethlisberger said he didn't want someone to look up and say, Ben, who? I got 2 stories. Because my feelings are, I don't agree with Ben Roethlisberger, but context matters. Not your replacement necessarily, but I had those teammate feelings before when you're competing against somebody for your job, for a job. Think about it. They walk out there and they say, we have 53 job opportunities and we can slice it a lot of ways. We can have 2 quarterbacks. We can have 3 quarterbacks. We can have 7 D linemen. We can have 9 D linemen, right? So it's not just you're fighting to start, you're fighting to be employed. So there is a love-hate mix when it comes to the opportunities presented, because you love it, but you got to hate on somebody else trying to take it. Just be real. Ben is talking about that. But let's get more specific than that. So when I came into the league, obviously playing for the Buffalo Bills, D end is Bruce Smith, Phil Hansen as well. Not as heralded, but damn good. You ain't taking Phil Hansen's job. Steady Eddie was a beast. But, of course, you're not taking Bruce Smith's job. Now, did I hate on Bruce Smith? Hate is strong. An ounce of damn, Bruce. Whenever you want to take a break, be fine by me. That's as far as I went. One, I didn't want to hate on Bruce because he was that damn good. I felt like it was false. You can't make this dude look bad. Like, hating on Jordan. Hating on LeBron is like, it ain't going to work. I was like, whatever I say negative about Bruce Smith, it ain't going to connect. It ain't going to last. This dude's going to get his sacks. He going to ball out. So that was part one. I ain't want to be ignorant. Part two is you wanted to learn from the guy. So remember, I'm Kenny Pickett in this situation. So I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Whatever he's doing, I'm just trying to take it in. Osmosis, like Kenny Pickett said. So I didn't hate on Bruce Smith, but there were rooting interests for his ass to sit down every now and then on third down so I could get a shot. Can't lie about that. When they finally cut Bruce Smith, I was excited for me And then I was excited for him to go somewhere else and get paid again and go to a different market to get some of that love and appreciation I was talking about. And I also was, the negativity I had was this. I was pumped that I got my shot and I didn't care how it happened. So that's not hate to me. That's just like, well, I'm glad you out the way so I could get mine, right? This is my contract year. He could have stayed, been on the other side, it'd been even more, it'd been easier for me. And Bruce Smith on the other side, I'm really getting paid because they're going to double team him, triple team him. Yeah. But instead, I took some of them double teams and triple teams. Anyway, I never had hate, but I know where Roethlisberger is going. But let me talk about the other example. This is what Roethlisberger is talking about. So my contract year, Bruce Smith is gone. I'm there, and they draft in the first round, I guess my replacement, but really the guy to go on the other side, Eric Flowers. Uh-oh. Y'all drafted the first rounder in my contract year? And you know, first rounders are rarely sorry. Like, he got drafted in the first round for a reason. That sucker hit the first practice, and it's so funny, you can't see you. I can watch myself on film, but I never get the same perspective you guys get of me. So when I was running back in these days, when I was, you know, all pro, really good and all that stuff, cats be like, damn, why are you getting off the rock? But then when I'm watching Eric get off the rock, I'm thinking he getting off the rock even better than me. I remember mentally in practice, like, dog, this dude look better than me. Now, partly, he's younger, trying harder to impress in practice. I'm already in that stage where I'm the starter. I know the coaches. They know me. We ain't got to show and prove every single snap. But that ain't a first rounder straight out of college. And I was sitting there like, oh, that was cool. That was cool. Yeah. Oh, man, go ahead, bro. Oh, you got it. You got it. Oh, let me get one. Oh, I was getting a little nervous. Nails real short. I'm biting them. I'm like, oh, dang, boy, look good. But then we got in the games. And the funny thing about a game is because they keep those stats, and then you have an opportunity, he has an opportunity, you do better than him, you start to realize, oh, he looks great, he may be great, but he ain't there yet. Look like me probably my rookie year. Not there yet, but going to be something, right? And that's how it was. So I did go through that mental warfare, that mind game. But did I hate on him? Nah. Did I want to make sure I was better than him? Hell yeah. And that's what I always use in my jealousy. My jealousy is always this. Oh, you up there? Here I come, not come down here, because one, I'm not a hater, but two, how am I going to grow if you come to me? How am I going to get better if you come to me? How am I going to get faster if you come to me? The challenge is to close that gap by pulling yourself up to become even a greater version of yourself. That's the evolution of it all. That's why I never hate. Why I hate? I don't hate on nobody. I don't give a damn who you are. Whatever you got is yours. And matter of fact, a couple reports out there, people know. Matter of fact, I won't even fight you if you want something more than me because it's for you. I don't want it. Why am I going to get in the way? I hate when people do that. Now, that's hate. When people are like, I don't even want it, but I don't want you to have it. Woo, that's some, woo. Damn, I felt the tingle of that. That's that dirty hate. You know, oh, me and her, we cool, but I don't want you kicking it with her. So what you going to do? You know what he going to do. He going to dirty Mac you. Old ass term, dirty Mac. He gonna poison the well. So I've never been that guy, man. And I hate when people are. Y'all feel that way? How about at work? All right, we're gonna give a promotion. How you feel about the other guy, other gal, in that same position as you, up for that promotion? You hating? Or are you just hoping it's yours? You hoping they get out the way? You hoping bad on them? You hoping good on them? But better for you? How does it play? Ben Roethlisberger opened up this conversation, and I like this cocktail. It's pretty cool. So those feelings that he's talking about, we've all had them. I don't think they're all hate. And Ben may have hated him because Ben used to go in because Ben was Ben. Remember Antonio Brown situation? Ben was Ben. And I think if Ben didn't like something, it wasn't no love like. It was love hate. And I think Pickett found himself in that. All right, y'all know how we finish every show with a Wiley and some. Get some of that medicine down there real quick. I find that the harder I work, the more luck I seem to have. Oh, yes. What do they say? That luck is the residue of design, right? So basically, you go earn your luck. You go get your luck. You actually pay rent on your luck to finally It's yours, right? You own it, right? I love that. Man, rent to own some luck. That's what we're going to start saying, right? It's crazy because where does luck come from? You're like, I need it now. And luck is stubborn. It's like, I come when I want to. I'm going to do what I want to do. Luck is not listening to you, but luck is watching you to see if you're working for it. Yeah, damn, luck is a relationship. Luck is my girl. Luck is my wife. Oh, show me you love me. And then, all right, I did. Now what? Oh, you just did that because you want something. I'll wait. Luck is my wife. Luck is your wife. Luck is your girl. Damn, that's hilarious. So the point of it is, if you really want to be lucky in this world, basically work your ass off. And if you put in that work, oh, you're going to find some luck because it's going to be right there on its time, but it's going to still be there right on time. So I find that the harder I work, the more luck I seem to have. All right, y'all. That'll do it for More To It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More To It is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming, because there's more coming from More To It. Talk to y'all hella soon. Go.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.